Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, in honor of the holiday season, we are doing something a little strange. I don't think I'd technically call this a movie, but we are talking about the infamous Star Wars Holiday Special, which despite George Lucas not liking it, Disney seems to not care because it's pretty widely available on YouTube now. But feel free to watch it with us. It was a good old recording, but since the movie makes no sense, the recording probably makes even less sense. But in the meantime, thanks for all you do, thanks for supporting us, and we hope you have a happy new year. Bye, everyone. Happy holidays, ladies and gentlemen, because this week we have... Oh, we have a holiday special for you. We are going to introduce new characters. Characters you're going to love in cartoon format. We're going to tell you about family members that disappear the minute it gets turned off. We're going to have a grandpa watch a sexual fantasy where a woman sings at him while he struggles with his erection. And of course, we're going to end with Art Carney. I'm Nick Hoffman, your hostess with the mostest. And on panel we have...
I'm Lauren, and I too, when I think of Christmas... I associate it with Star Wars.
Obviously. I associate it with erections.
Candace here from Cineprov, the Rocky Horror Picture Show at the Plaza, hosting Monday Night Geek Trivia at Felix's, and overall, you know, here to please.
Hello, this is Daniel, contributor to PopDose.com, frequent annoyance of Nick on this very podcast. And
love you, buddy.
I personally use my Oculus to watch softcore porn as well.
I'm Atlanta author Matthew W. Quinn, and you should check out Lindsay Broker's Fallen Empire series, and don't bother with this because it sucks.
Oh.
Oh, spoilers!
Matt's coming down on the it sucks category.
It sucks. It's boring. It's not even dumb.
You're jumping ahead, Matt. You're jumping ahead. The kids don't even know about it yet.
Yeah, you can't skip to the blowjob scene right away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You gotta work it up and get those eyes going.
Is that it?
So, smash cut to Han Solo being mildly distressed by bee footage, followed by 11 minutes of nonsense.
Literally grunts.
So, for those of you who don't know, this holiday special came out after Empire, but before Return of the Jedi.
Is this the Star Wars holiday special yet?
Okay, so this is the Star Wars holiday special, and... Daniel's raising his hand because I'm a teacher and he wants to be called on.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you there, Mr. Teacher, sir.
First of all, it's Dr. Teacher, sir.
Dr. Teacher, sir. Excuse me.
Dr. Nick?
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Hi, everybody.
It came out before Empire.
So between Star Wars and Empire.
So it was released in 1978 and it originally aired on November 17th of 1978. So this was 1 year following.
Happy Thanksgiving from the age of disco.
That's right. No, can I say all the 70s stuff did make me happy? Like when I watched it, they showed like the original advertisement for General Motors that sponsored this.
Oh,
and
okay.
Beyond 70s, it's ridiculous.
So, Lauren, that brings up a question. Which version? You saw a version with a General Motors commercial.
Yes.
Did any of the rest of you have commercials? Because unfortunately, artfully, someone removed all the commercials. I wanted
not
to see
on
Jimmy
YouTube.
Carter.
I saw them.
No. There's like 8 versions on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw the one that was, I think, broadcast in Ohio and no commercials.
Yeah. So I got the intros like... And this episode of Star Wars The Halloween Special is brought to you by... And then it cuts to black and then comes back.
The Incredible Hulk will be canceled tonight.
That's right.
That's what I saw.
Hello, I'm Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
And I'm running
Mine did not have commercials, but that's because I watched it on DVD that I purchased in 1999 in the dealer's room of the basement of the Marriott at DragonCon. When the entire dealer's room used to be one... floor basement in the Marriott.
And you could actually just walk right
in. I thought I saw your nipples shining.
You could actually walk right in instead of the line going around the building 6 times.
Through, and they would push all the stars in the back, and it was so hot they would like pass out from heat stroke. And then you would buy porn and bootlegs, and that's where I go.
Yeah, you have a special knock. You gotta go.
Are you telling us?
I have a little confession to make to y'all. I am a Star Wars fan. Big Star Wars fan. But I never seen this until now because I was scared to.
Oh, I am.
You're right to be terrified.
I, I had heard such horror stories and such horrible things that I just have always stayed away from it until Nick made me watch this.
I'd only ever seen reviews of it on YouTube.
This was my first time seeing it.
It was mine, too.
Okay.
I've seen it lots of times, and I had to watch it again last night with Chris, my husband.
Sure.
And he actually saw it on air when it aired because he's much older than me. And he was very excited for us to watch it because, as he told me, and I'll talk about this later, at 78, they were so thirsty for anything Star Wars.
Right.
This was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And,
Jesus.
Again, now we're saturated with Star Wars, but there was nothing. So they were literally grasping anything they could.
Well, and so when I watched it last night with my wife in front of the show, Zach, that's kind of what I was saying. I'm like, can you imagine it's around Thanksgiving and your kids have watched this movie the year before that they absolutely loved, and you're just like, fine, you open a Schlitz or a Schaefer's and you're just like, let me watch this with you. And it's like an hour 40, hour 38. And so broadcast, it's 2 hours.
Yeah. Right.
And you're just melting into your couch. You're like, what have I done wrong? This is Jimmy Carter's fault. Like, I don't even know what you must have thought in 1970, because this is just nonsense. And again, you have handsome Harrison Ford, strong John going, don't worry, buddy, we'll get you home for the holidays. And then there's 7 minutes of nothing.
Well,
there's just 7 minutes of nothing.
There's a prolonged sequence where it's Chewbacca's father, Itchy, his wife, Mala, and his son, Lumpy.
Lumpy.
Comes off me as a fat, obnoxious middle school boy.
Mala is his wife.
Yes.
Mala is the wife.
Mala is the wife, by the way.
Mala is the wife, played by a man, and Itchy
is the grandfather.
And then Lumpy is the child who's played by a woman, by the way. You're welcome.
Okay, well, whatever.
Itchy played by himself.
Whatever.
They all got credited except for R2-D2.
R2-D2.
If I was Danny Baker, I would punch someone in the fucking throat. Actually, in the dick.
That's not how he would reach.
They just rolled it out.
Okay, but whatever combinations of
R2-D2 as R2-D2.
Whatever combinations of gender and age and species these things are, there's a 10-minute long sequence where they talk only in Wookiee, and there's no subtitles.
Exactly.
And looking at Sunzi, he's about to jump in because I haven't done the plots enough. There's no fucking plot.
There is no plot.
It's a variety show.
That's not true. There is a plot. Let me give the plot. Here's the plot. The plot is
the My Pillow guy shows up as an Imperial stormtrooper and wants to capture
the plot is on the Wookiee planet, which that's what it's called in the show, but it later will be called Kashyyyk. They didn't have a name for it yet. They are celebrating Life Day. And so Han is trying to get Chewie home in time for Life Day. And of course, Chewie's family is busy at home trying to prepare for Life Day, and they're all very worried that he's not there. And so we have lots of interactions with other characters that Mala is reaching out to, trying to find out if they know if he will be home in time for Life Day. And so there is a plot. I'm not saying it's a good one, but it does exist.
They never explain what Life Day is. Never, not once.
Life Day is Life Day. All right? If you got to explain it, you can't celebrate it.
You're celebrating life.
All right? It's every day. It's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, it's Thanksgiving.
I clocked it just out of curiosity. You don't see Luke Skywalker until well into 15 minutes.
And you see his eyeliner before you see him.
Under pancake makeup.
Also, he stole me a shampoo commercial somewhere else. Because the makeup's wrong, the hair is wrong. Mala.
Oh, according,
don't worry, he'll be home soon.
According to the,
at least he was nice to her.
Smile. That's better.
According to the IMDb, it's because Mark Hamill was in a car accident like a month before filming, and they just covered him in makeup.
Well, which is why in Empire, it starts out with him being attacked.
By a Wampa,
By the Wampa, because they need to explain it. Irving Kirshner, which again, maybe we'll do next season. Next season's the big 10-0, so we'll figure it out.
Did you just call him Ian Kirshner?
Isn't it Irving?
It's Irwin, I think.
Irwin Kirshner. But he was a professor that was at the school at the time that George was there. He's like, so, hey, bud, can you direct this one for me? The last one ended my marriage, so. Whatever.
Well, George Lucas wanted nothing to do with this.
We were both wrong. It's Irvin without the G.
Irvin. Okay. And George Lucas wanted nothing to do with this.
Well, and he buried it after it came out. Like, that's why all of us watched different versions, because the versions we saw were recorded by, like, some Betamax machine off the TV. Mm-hmm. It was never released, never has been released. And in fact, the only thing I think that is close to an official release is that they got the rights to do it for Riff Tracks as you're listening it the previous Christmas.
I think the animated Boba Fett was on a Blu-ray or something at one point.
It was. It was an extra on the Star Wars Blu-ray set, but that's the only thing anyone's at Lucasfilm seems to acknowledge.
To quote a much better movie, Serenity, "You can't stop the signal." No.
Live
forever
you
on YouTube, and George Lucas can't do shit.
And I learned that this is when you first meet Boba Fett.
This is the first time you've seen him.
We need to establish that. This is where he is first introduced as a character.
By the way, my wife lost her absolute mind when they showed C-3PO in that thing. He has a light bulb for a head and is attached by, like, the thinnest of, like, tethers.
And he blinks.
And yet Anthony Daniels still made it work, because that's how he do.
Anthony Daniels and Mark Hamill are the only people doing voices very clearly. Yeah. It's quite something.
Knowing, I don't know the guy, but knowing Harrison Ford's reputation, I'm sure he was just too grumpy to get into her voice booth.
He was like, this is nonsense. Yeah. I have other things to do.
At this point, toward the end, I was just running it on like 1.5 speed to get it over with.
Oh, really? No, I sat. I'm Catholic. I'd feel guilty.
Yeah, I was about, you beat me to it. I was going to bring up penance. What? Were you assigned this as penance for something? You know, instead of five Hail Marys, it's watch the Star Wars holiday special.
So it reminds me of the fun fact of this, when you're saying that, is Carrie Fisher has said, I've looked this up, but I've said this several times, that she would use this as a way to make people leave her house. She was having a party and she needed guests to leave. She would start playing this to make them get the fuck out. So it was kind of their penance.
Other than the fact that she's wearing the wiggiest wig that has ever wigged.
Worse than the House of the Dragon wigs? I heard those were
nothing is worse than the House of the Dragon wigs. Why do you have this budget, but you don't have six girls who can do hair? Come to Riverdale. We have them. We will help you.
But Carrie wanted to sing. And that was the only reason she agreed to this.
Her song is good. Every other time she's on stage, she's so drunk she can't stand.
You think that's what it is?
I guess.
Well, it's either that or blow.
I guess she wanted to be her mother.
She's really dismissive of Mala too. It's really hard. She's like, can someone else come to the phone?
Not
someone else. Her parents were. She has a good voice. I was actually impressed.
She's not as dismissive as Art Carney is in the special, where he literally tells Mala, you'd look prettier if you smile.
Dude, he's that guy on the bus. Also, I will say, though, Art Carney and Harvey Korman and Bea Arthur are the three who actually show up for this thing. Totally. Holy hell.
I did not know Bea Arthur was in this.
Oh, shit, it's great.
And she's closing down the tavern. And she has a number, man.
This is a variety show. It's also a musical. Like, Bea Arthur has a musical number. There's the Jefferson Starship shows up at one point.
And so, ladies, gentlemen, if you're trying to get intimate with your special friend, just know that there's a smooth jazz version of the Cantina theme somewhere that Bea Arthur sings over. And if you could just, I mean, first of all, that's hot enough as it is. But it or just instrumental, dude, it's just like a slow jam. Seal might as well be singing over it. Like, it is fucking hot.
I remember
a kiss from a Sarlacc, Seal's version.
Oh, my God.
She pours liquid into a guy's head. I mean,
that's Harvey Korman that she's pouring liquid into.
Harvey Korman is like an 8 scene. Like, I don't know why he
showed
up.
Yeah, he's also the chef. The drag chef.
You want to hear something? You guys want to find?
By the way, is the best part of this whole.
You guys want to find?
Trying to copy the recipe is insane. What's up, Sunzy?
All right, I'm gonna go call a timeout right now. I think everyone's talking over each other, which is going to make this very hard to edit.
Okay.
You're fine. I'll edit this.
Okay, here's something I learned. Bea Arthur's character is now part of the new canon.
Beatrice Arthur.
Beatrice.
They credit her as Beatrice.
Can we stop real quick? Slavery underground on Tatooine or something.
Can we stop real quick and count back in? And Matt, great point. I think it'll make it easier.
Good, Matt.
All right, one, two, three.
Today I learned, or actually yesterday, the day before, that they actually brought in at least some of the characters of Star Wars Holiday Special into the new canon.
Really?
Like Bay Arthur's character is part of an anti-slavery underground on Tatooine.
Or God Lump being his son.
He was part of the old canon and the new canon.
Yeah.
Well, and also because there's a character called Boba Fett. I don't know if you've heard about.
And I don't know about Itchy.
I don't think he'll last.
Maybe Itchy blew a gasket or VR porn machine. Yes, there's one in this.
Do you think Itchy does softcore porn in this? It's amazing.
In the middle of his living room with his grandson.
We can. So let's go
with Diane Carroll and making all these grunts.
There were a lot of grunts. Now where did he get this? Let's go back. Yeah,
not Archie Bunker sold him a VR porn machine.
Yeah.
Keep going, Archie.
So a few months.
I find you adorable. Like what the fuck?
Dear. Okay. Hello. I find you quite good at turning me on.
Like, I was not expecting that. Again, my first
Are you just quoting your yearbook entry? No.
I was not expecting that. Yes. My first time seeing it, I was like, wow.
Yes. Now, no. He gets this, though, like, from the traitor. Yeah. That's right. We get this from the traitor, though. So we've left him out. We've talked about... Yeah, everyone's showing up. So Son Diane is the local traitor. And he is the one who they originally contact, asking if you've heard from Han and Chewie. He goes, yes. He gives them a very special code, stating that they'll be there soon. And then Mala, of course, starts to prepare the meal because now she's been given comfort that he's coming. That's where we first see the scene with her doing the chef's the chef and drag, which is hilarious.
There's a cooking special.
Yeah. Well, and also, let's make it
It's
clear.
Not just any cooking special. It's the most famous cooking special on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing we just have to emphasize here is no English is spoken except for these side characters we're talking about.
Correct.
And so you're just listening to modulate, because it's Chewbacca sounds, which is just, you know, dogs and such. But they pitch them up for his wife, down for the dad, and even higher for the son, who also has, like, X-Wing toys, which we'll get to. But, like, that's why they keep introducing these other things. And we haven't even mentioned the creepiest one, which is the first thing where, like, pervert grandpa pulls a casingle off the rack, and then they're just watching Cirque du Soleil for, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of dudes and tights gyrating for this child. And he's like, and we just, the camera keeps panning to his smiling face as these French-Canadian perverts are thrusting at him.
In my notes, I referred to it as, and I quote, Cirque du Soleil, and then I wrote down, seriously, what the fuck?
Listen, I've seen those acts at the Renfest, and they're delightful. Okay, I was clapping right along. Even though I gotta tell you, the look of it had a very Jim Henson Muppet Theater look about it. And so, and I thought about it, it reminded me, it was very reminiscent of, like, in Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And so even the costuming of the jugglers and stuff, and I thought, you know what, I wonder if this is the same group. If there was kind of like a group of folks that did this kind of shtick, and they just used him for multiple movies within the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, George Lucas produced Labyrinth, so it wouldn't be surprising.
But I will add to that, I wish they had made their costumes 30% more Labyrinth then, because otherwise he's just wearing, like, a green leotard with face paint.
30% more bulging crotch, is that it?
Or make him look like a fucking alien. We're in Star Wars. Give him head ridges and a thing. Like, because he's not doing anything crazy. It's not like he's doing flips and shit. He's just seducing the child. Like, because you get a lot of this.
He's the ringmaster. He's not supposed to have an act. He's running all the other acts.
Then he should be wearing shit on his face. Then he should have a crazier costume. That's it.
He has like a megaphone. He has like a part of a fucking record player or something.
But right before this, Lumpy is like walking. Can we talk about this for a second? Where he's walking the house on the beam, on the railing.
Oh, yes. And on cash.
Yeah, he's walking.
Or
I'm like, she... is he? I'm like, I literally was like, is he going to fall on purpose? Like, what? I mean, the way anyone else thought that? Like,
he's
going to
kill himself because daddy didn't show up.
Yes, because daddy didn't show up. I was like, what the fuck?
It doesn't help the fact that the treehouse is a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
It's just a matte painting, a shitty matte painting.
Yeah.
And then everything else is just blackness. So it's as though he's about to fall into a Twilight Zone episode. Because he's like, and then there's nothing. The scene just cuts. It's bad cropping. But it just makes, like, we mentioned that George Lucas disavowed this, but this must have also been filmed by, like, a third tier DP, right? Like, no one knew what they were doing. Nothing is in frame. And it's just essentially a put-upon wife vacuuming a home and a child about to kill themselves. I have a 10-month-old at home.
I mean, that is life.
They're
day.
About to commit suicide. Like,
that's, I mean, we all have those life days, right?
Well, I'm just,
you know,
really
then your dad's talking about how the Empire is actually improving things, and you can't even look at your uncle because he's talking about how Wookiees deserve to be in camps, and it's very awkward for everyone.
Those
involved.
Walking carpets, which I believe is the the racial slur to refer to Wookiees.
Why long hairy face?
Like, meanwhile, everyone else is just watching the pod races, and no one can talk to each other because the pod races are on TV.
I'm just kind of a fan now of the idea of Itchy going into the Twilight Zone. Or Lumpy, rather.
But there's something on the wing.
Yeah.
So after Mala tries to attempt to make this meal, it totally fails, right? The traitor arrives back at the house for Life Day, and he's giving out presents. Right. All right, and that's when he gives out the virtual reality fantasy.
The proton pack.
Which is very upsetting, obviously.
Yeah, proton pack, by the way.
I know what
7 years before Ghostbusters. We were desperately trying to pay attention to something you can't pay attention to. Yeah. And when they sent Proton back, Zach said, "What the fuck?" And I'm like, "Yes! Where did this..." Dan Aykroyd loves Crystal Skull vodka in the Star Wars Christmas special. Sorry, go ahead, miss.
That's all right. No, and Dead so, mom. So, of course, we're playing with toys. We're, you know, he gives, you know, Mala a box with Jefferson Starship in it. You know, why
right.
not?
As you do.
I thought it was a sewing machine. When he first showed, that's what it looked like, was a Singer sewing box. And I was like, oh my God, if this bitch got a sewing machine, I was like, I'm fucking leaving. I was like, I can't. She's already having to make dinner. She's vacuuming. She's like,
at least she gets
sad.
To get tagged team by Jefferson Starship.
Right? I was like, please, can something cool happen here?
Yeah.
You hear the roaring of a ship outside, so we're all very excited. We think Chewie and Han are home. We run to the door, only to find two stormtrooper officers who force their way into the house, and they're searching for Chewbacca.
Yeah, because a couple have been shaking down the traitor earlier.
Yeah.
And I guess they followed him in.
Do you know what?
Well, maybe it's because she broke radio fucking silence. Okay? Mala shouldn't have been fucking calling Luke Star, like fucking Skywalker.
And you know,
I mean, she broke radio silence. She is the reason they are there.
You know what would have worked for this? Do you know what would have worked for this special is if the Star Wars characters, like, somehow got access to Earth Entertainment, like, I don't know, through that interdimensional cable thing from Rick and Morty, and they were watching, like, you know, disco acts. So Donna Summer comes on and sings a song. The actual Julia Child shows up instead of Harvey Korman playing Julia Child.
I mean, obviously, you've seen Gilligan's Island. Oh, those poor people.
The Harlem Globetrotters show up. Why the hell not?
Dude, could you imagine?
Oh, fuck. Batman comes up.
Zoinks! Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, well, first of all that we're saying could exist in this world because this is already nonsense.
That's true.
But I love the idea that he's like, shut up, Chewbacca's wife. They'll be coming. Trust me.
Exactly.
And he doesn't blink. The poor man doesn't know what he's looking at. No one saw a script, and he's about to be turned into the worst cartoon that's ever happened to people since Schoolhouse Rock. So
the traitor attempts to distract folks with food and with Mala's video box, which, like I said earlier, features Jefferson's Starship, which, by the way, they threw a chair at me at Dragon Con. Let me tell you the story. So it was our very first year of LDOD performing at Dragon Con. It was 2001, I think. And the head singer of Jefferson Starship lost their wallet. They were convinced that we had stole it. P.S. We had just gotten there, so no one had taken their wallet. They were pissed drunk. They got mad, and they threw a chair at us.
Nice.
And then they left their drum set on the stage. And so we did the entire show with their drum set in the center of our fucking stage. And I have a video of it. And that is all. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Okay, so don't tweet this episode at Jefferson Starship and hope they retweet it.
Some roadie's fucking puss.
Okay. Some sad old mama from the back of the thing. So Matt, this is note to you. Don't tag anyone we've talked about. I know on Twitter you tag everyone. Don't tag Jefferson.
Okay.
No.
Because Catherine Mary Stewart some of the stuff.
Do not tag them. It's just a story y'all need to know as a backstory. Do not tag them.
I thought the lead singer of Jefferson Starship was Grace Slick. Was she just long gone by then?
I think Grace Slick was not at that Dragon Con show. She might have been. It was a man. It was a man who threw a chair at us.
Grace Dry was there.
Ah.
Exactly.
So, the non-union Mexican equivalent. Okay.
Yeah. Don't tag him. You're thinking about tagging him. Mark Hamill? You're thinking about tagging him? Well, first of all, you can tag Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill and LeVar Burton can do no wrong by my book. They are charming, wonderful men.
So after the music ends from Jefferson Starship, the officers head up to Mala, and they keep Lumpy busy while they search his room. So Lumpy and the viewing audience gets to watch his view screen and watch a cartoon of his father's many adventures.
Why does that exist within the context of this universe?
Exactly.
Who's making that cartoon?
Who is making that cartoon? Because at first I was like, is this live? Is he watching what's happening to them right now? No.
Now that would have been more interesting.
It's like some rebellion propaganda bullshit where they're like, join the rebellion, look how bad it is.
Or imperial propaganda, because Boba Fett is so much nicer than he really is. Yeah. Hello, friend.
I will say,
I am not a friend of the Empire.
I will plug a book that I read this year called Set Phasers to Stun, which is about the history of Star Trek. It's excellent. But Gene Roddenberry believed that in the Star Trek universe, people would be watching Star Trek stories. And that's all I can think about this whole time. Like, the idea that the Rebellion would be making shitty Rick and Morty knockoff cartoons. Like, there's a robot chicken in the Star Wars universe where they're making fun of how that stormtroopers can't shoot straight. Because that's all this is. It's just, it's a jib jab of Mark Hamill saying, you know what, we better save Han Solo. Why is he hanging upside down? And that turns into a mystery we have to solve in 8.5 minutes because this is nonsense and this is a world that we live in right now. Thanks, Disney.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure the Rebellion, even at their poorest, could come up with the equivalent of like victory through air power.
Yeah, right?
You think?
Yes.
I mean,
1943 Disney classic.
Or De Fuhrer's Face. If you have not watched De Fuhrer's
Face,
why not?
Der Vader's face. You know, this powerful dude, he's really ugly as shit.
And hit the charts. If you don't know what I'm looking at, Google it or YouTube it. Leonard Maltin does the introduction, but it won a Grammy for the song, I think.
I think it did, and I think that was nominated for like Best Short at the Oscars.
And I think it won. It was a Disney Academy Award. But just know that it's the worst cartoon that's ever happened. It has like 7 frames a second, and it looks like it's a cardboard cutout flying through space.
To be fair, first, apparently the cartoon is the only thing anyone involved in this likes.
Oh, it's great, but it's cheap. It's great, but cheap.
Mark Hamill or Han Solo, Luke Skywalker looks like his face is melting.
So even the Wookiees' costumes compared to Chewbacca.
Yeah, they look like
dogs. Here's the deal. You don't have to compare what the art of the time was. This was, like, I want you to think about heavy metal.
Ugh.
I'm aroused already.
This is an absolute parody of heavy metal art.
It's another Canadian animation company, so it's the same people.
You're more merciful than I am. My first thing came to mind was the Hair Bear Bunch.
Actually, what I thought when I saw this, honestly, was Schoolhouse Rock. Right? It's solid-colored backgrounds, solid-colored figures, and a song could break out at any second. Like, that... And I will say, though, again... It introduces us to Boba Fett. It's not a bad story. Things work out. And it turns out in the Disney-verse version of Star Wars, that's what we want. Little stories that things happen in. I would watch this cartoon show much more than, you know, God, like 75
so,
episodes or something.
Essentially, you're
else.
Here for episodic adventures.
If that's all this was, it would be better.
Well, it's supposed to be a variety show, so that would have made more sense.
It's true. So after he finishes watching this adventure, they then decide that they have to go to the living room to the view screens because it's announced that Tatooine is being put under a curfew because of submersive forces. And the video is now announcing required viewing And it features Beatrice Arthur. The requiring viewing, and I love it because when he first pops up on the screen, all I can think of is attention Bajoran workers, which if you're a DS9 fan, you would totally get that. R.I.P. Kai Wynn, by the way. That's really sad. She passed away today. So I love it because they do this intro about the reason why you're watching the people on Tatooine is so you can feel better about your life. They literally say that. It's the most Schadenfreude bullshit ever, and I love it. And that's why it takes him to the cantina, which I would argue is the second best scene of the whole movie. And that is not because I love Beatrice Arthur so much, which I do. We are very kindred spirits. But because for the first time, you're seeing all of the really great practicals that were used in the movie for the canteen that were only there for a few seconds. And these are really great monster costumes that you never get to see again. I mean, they were probably in the back of a warehouse. They were like, oh, shit, we stole all those aliens, put them on people. And now we have a beautiful, nice, slow, like 12-minute scene where those of us who are fans and cosplayers can sit there and enjoy each one of these factions and go, okay, obviously, you know, that's, you know, a Thorian, that's, you know, this, that, and the other. I mean, like...
Keep going. You know them all, don't you?
Of course I know them all.
Of course you do.
Well, there's the Biff, which is the band, right?
Yes, I love the Biff. Yeah.
Big Fortuna. Yeah.
Love the band.
Playing jizz music.
Even her song is like an ode to this.
Like now, it sounded more like ragtime to me than jazz, like you were saying.
No, it's not jazz. It's jizz. And I know that sounds gross, but they called it jizz music. Mm-hmm. But I mean, to Candace's point, something I really do love about this is there's people in fucking costumes, right? Like, and Mustacheman, who doesn't have a mask on his stormtrooper, like, you know, the penis hat. I mean, he looks like Darth Helmet for most of this.
Yeah.
But at least it's actually a thing with light reflecting. I'm sorry. It looks better than a lot of the shit that's going on.
I hate CGI. I love practicals. I'm the queen of practicals. So as soon as I saw this, I was like, give it to me.
So you're saying you're not putting on your Oculus and masturbating like Lumpy was or whatever was going on there?
I do not own an Oculus. I just get my dick the old-fashioned way.
I had to look at the budget for this, by the way. Just, I was just interested. It was $1 million.
Wow.
What?
In 78?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That's all gas prices in 78. Though.
For 78, that's a decent amount.
Dude, that's a lot.
Right? That's probably like 4 million, 5 million now?
Yeah. I would guess that the whole, like, the first Star Wars movie cost like 15 million. And that's a movie. This is made for TV nonsense. So I would guess, like, that's a chunk of change.
Right?
And I would guess that went into all the bits. Because, I mean, we didn't really talk about it, but, like, when Harvey Korman's, like, doing his thing as the Julia Childs, like, he has a suit, but there's other puppeteers around him and behind him.
Because obviously, as Whose Line Is It Anyways has taught us, there's nothing funnier than someone else feeding you soup. Than trying to pour things in your mouth or wipe your mouth. That is hilarious. That fucking kills it. It wins every time. Done.
And also, let's not forget that this is the 70s and they weren't afraid of anything.
No.
Because we do see him break an animal in half and put raw meat in there. So that ladle's just rubbing on raw beef or whatever that is and rubbing all over his face. So I'm sure he got E. coli immediately.
It's not rubbing. It's stirring and whipping and beating on this raw meat.
Yeah, whip that meat.
We've all been there.
That Wookiee whooping its meat.
Ah! All right, so, smash cut. Eventually, they ransack Lumpy's room.
They do.
And they break one of his toys, which becomes a whole thing. But he has these wooden...
It's a bantha. It's a stuffed bantha, and they rip its head off, which is wrong and upsetting. And then I thought about the fact that... The banthas in the movie, it was probably one of the actual props. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because just think about it, it would have been done to scale. And then that upset
But this
me.
Is before banthas. No, this is after banthas were a thing.
Yeah.
They weren't. Yeah, so you could destroy it.
This movie.
No, I'm not saying you should, but I bet you that's what it was. You're right. I hadn't thought of that.
A stormtrooper must be in a bad mood. He has to go out and patrol on a holiday, so he's taken out a little kid.
Well, I mean,
it's not a holiday he celebrates.
He doesn't celebrate Life Day. I mean, you know, he has friends that do.
Maybe he's like one of those people.
I've been to a Life Day Passover
Seder. The Empire does not celebrate Life Day. Is that right?
It is solely a Wookiee holiday. Now,
I mean, it's like you have. Yeah. I mean, again, we're Gentiles here. It's that one Jewish friend you're trying to get home for Yom Kippur,
it's
right?
True.
Like,
it's
that's what it is. Like,
you don't know exactly how it works, but you know it's important.
Are you telling me?
I'll get you home for Hanukkah, I think it is.
Are you telling me that every single one of Chewbacca's lines throughout the trilogy was Oy Gevalt?
Could you imagine, a Yiddishy, put upon, the rebellion? Like, that would be, better movie.
Mandalorian just made Light Day in a canon.
So, yeah.
Maybe for the Empire, it's just an excuse to get drunk. Cinco de Wookiee.
Oh, there you go. I celebrate Cinco de Wookiee.
St. Wookiee's Day. We dye the river green respectfully.
We dye the river with ground up Wookiees respectfully.
We clog all the showers with a lot of matted hair in honor of the Wookiees.
Everyone was on drugs. That's what we're watching.
Yeah, and so after B. Arthur's song, because he's trying to get everybody out for last call, Lumby uses his opportunity to put his plan into motion. He fakes a repeated call to the Empires to return to base, so they leave. But one stormtrooper stays behind and realizes they were tricked. He finds Lumpy.
I thought it was Chewie disguised for a minute there.
Yeah, he finds Lumpy and destroys the machine and then chases Lumpy outside. And then that's when Han and Chewie arrive just in time to save Lumpy. And he falls to his death on a banister, which is not very sturdy, that he was walking on fucking earlier. So I'm not saying that Lumpy compromised that banister, but that banister is not meant for walking on. That's all I'm going to say.
This banister is for regular walking, not fancy walking.
Right. I do wish, though, that this had a live studio audience so that when Han Solo showed up, it was like,
we can do it now.
Because the way that he shows up, it's almost as though he expected applause because he thrusts through. Like, it's almost a Spaceballs scene when he shows up. It's amazing.
He was hot. So was Mark Hamill.
First of all, 100%. A 1978 Harrison Ford is a smoke dome.
That is not hot whatsoever. Neither is Luke. Is the whiniest, weakest, saddest thing I've ever seen.
When I teach film study 101, I always show that scene with the two suns setting because it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Like it's the one good scene that George Lucas directed.
Shot. It's a good shot.
The scene where he argues with his aunt and uncle, he steps outside.
No, I was saying that's the one good scene George Lucas has directed.
I would say it's the best scene he ever directed.
Okay, the best, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I like THX 1138, but that scene is a masterpiece. But otherwise, Luke is literally Cartman complaining. He's like,
man, I'm gonna go to the Chachi station and pick some paraconverters and cheesy poofs.
Until the very end of New Hope, where he blows up he blows up the Death Star, and he's like, oh boy, I'm gonna get an award. Well, Harrison Ford is railing Princess Leia behind him, practicing his headboard, slapping, and he's like, oh boy, I'm gonna have a chance with a princess. No, you're not, buddy, you're a loser. And you've complained for 2 hours.
And you're her brother, which you don't know yet.
He doesn't know it. They hadn't written it.
That's why John Williams wrote Luke and Leia's theme as a love song.
That's right.
No one had told him. So it wasn't until the second movie when John Williams went to watch it, he was horrified because he had written it with the impression of it being a love song.
They were going to hook up. Yeah. And by the end of the first three drafts of Empire had them as not related. And there was, when Yoda says, there's another, there was literally a third person that was supposed to show up. But Lucas was like, we can't do a fourth movie. It's already ruined a marriage. Nearly bankrupted me. We're going to end it at a trilogy. Yeah. So he's like, they're fucking related. Who cares? And now he's worth $1.6 billion. So don't worry about George Lucas.
I think he's
worth
even more than that now.
So now that stormtrooper fell to his death, Chewie and Han are home. Dangers averted. The family prepares to go to the festival at the Great Tree of Life.
Where they're all dressed like those cultists who castrated themselves and killed themselves to ride the comet to heaven.
They're holding their glowing orbs, and they appear in their classic space-wearing red
robes.
Which I gotta say is very Gallifreyan of them.
I love what Matt just implied, that Marshall Applewhite and the Heaven's Gate cult was inspired by the Star Wars holiday special.
Based on the fact that they were all sci-fi fantasy people, I believe it.
I mean, we're not saying it's they weren't.
Could you imagine killing yourself because of the side, like the Star Wars holiday special?
Actually, yes, I can.
St. Peter at the gate's like, you gotta try harder, buddy. I'm gonna let you try again! But you just can't watch Doctor Who or Rick and Morty because you're just gonna be back here in 6 months. It's gonna be awkward.
It's true. So the Wookiees walk into the bright star and arrive at the Tree of Life. Gathered there also, which by the way is the throne room. And you can even hear the theme of the throne room. Yeah. And I was like, great, is Chewie gonna finally get his medal? P.S. He doesn't. They're gathered, including C-3PO, R2-D2, Luke, Leia, Han. Everyone's there, because that's what you do in a holiday special. Everybody's got to be there at the end. And then Leia gives a short speech and sings her song in celebration, the Life Day song.
And Carrie Fisher was high.
Proceed with her music career, which is why the only reason she did this special was because she wanted a song.
Oh, like mother, like daughter.
Right.
Yeah. And then Linus shows up at the end with a blanket over his head and reads from the Gospel of Luke, and then we're out.
Doesn't anyone know what Life Day is all about?
Exactly.
And then Captain Planet shows up and it says, Life Day is about killing bitches who pollute. It just starts blasting.
And I wasn't even upset about the robes, the globes, or the Life Day song, but the fact that then Chewie has this, like, fucking montage of all of the movie that he'd already just been in, and it's adventures during the original film, because they're like, hey, you know what people love? That original movie.
There is so much B-roll and reused footage from the original. There. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was very creepy because it paused on his face and it showed like things that happened in his face again. I was like, did Chewie die? What's happening? But he didn't, because now the family's around the table. They bow their heads and it's time for Life Day.
So are Wookiees monotheistic, polytheistic? What's their religion?
Life.
Okay.
I do like the idea, though, like just the reverse to what Candace said. What if the most like profitable movie every year had to do a Christmas special? Like there's an Avatar Christmas special. There was an Avengers Endgame Christmas special. Like I love this idea. Like, and at the end we just have to watch Tony Stark die as though he's the baby Jesus. I don't know what any of this is, because again, a year before, an almost indie film for Fox makes a masterpiece, and they're like, you know what this needs? A dreidel.
Captain America serving Thanos like a turkey.
Instead of that one scene where they're all getting doner kebab or whatever, like
shawarma,
excuse me. They're having a Thanksgiving and they're talking about the first Thanksgiving. Like, that's what we're talking about here.
They were the real superheroes, the pilgrims.
And then Gandalf shows up in a red robe this time. He's like, I would like to give you presents, hobbits.
Gandalf the Red, also known as Santa Claus.
They could have this in active contrast where they had to do a holiday special.
George Lucas doing blow in the background was like, I don't care, guys, just do whatever. This is the worst thing that has come out of a good special. Like, the worst Star Trek movie is better than this. I'm sorry, yeah. And again, Last Jedi was, or sorry, the Last Skywalker, whatever. What was the
Rise of Skywalker?
Rise of Skywalker is dog shit, but it's better than this.
I'll defend Rise of Skywalker. I mean,
fight you over that.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
Oh, it's not perfect. It's got a lot of mistakes, but it's not one of the worst things ever.
No,
this is the worst thing ever.
It's better than this.
There's so many things that are better than this. Dysentery is better than this.
That's true.
Holiday. Do you want to go around the horn, Matt? How much did you hate this?
This, I suspect, is probably the worst movie we have done for Myopia ever. And I've been here from the beginning. 10 years, people. This sucked.
Yeah.
Oh boy, and Matt's saying that. I mean, I think he was the one who recommended Spawn back in the day.
Spawn was better than this. At least John Leguizamo was funny.
Shakespeare compared to this.
At least John Leguizamo was hilarious.
No, he's not. No. But this is no good. I mean, I get the novelty factor because it's really one of the stupidest things ever broadcast on American television, which if you know about American television, you know that's saying a lot. this was such a cash-in, and maybe it could have worked if they rewrote the script in order for, you know, B. Arthur to actually make sense in this universe. But they didn't. They just wrote a first draft and went with it and hoped they'd make more money, and that didn't end up happening, which is why you can only see this through bootlegs, which frankly is way more appropriate.
Vinegar syndrome.
Okay, so I'm going to take a slightly different take on this, a little hot take. And that is, this is definitely by far not the worst thing I've ever seen, ever. All right, I had to riff a movie about a two-headed monster once who went on a raping spree. Okay, so I've seen
my first movie.
I know. So trust me, I've seen some real shit, okay? I've seen horrible things. But that being said, is this bizarre? Yes. But is this the 70s? Yes. So if you were someone watching this for the first time in 1978, would this have been great? Yeah, because you had no access to any other Star Wars stuff. The only thing else that was even similar to this was the Donnie and Marie disco Star Wars extravaganza. Okay?
You know, the Carpenters had a sci-fi themed variety show back in the day.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and even in the movie, which I love with Bill Murray, Scrooged, where he's putting on a holiday variety show, and they have solid gold dancers, and they've got a kid doing this and that. I mean, like, he's doing all the tropes of what you would have seen in a holiday special. So I got to say, is it the worst thing ever? No, it's not. Is it incredibly dated and strange? Absolutely. But, you know, there's something kind of funny and endearing about it. I think that it's fine in that it's, you know, is it something you're going to watch all the time? Absolutely not. Is it just as bad as those Ewok movies? Yeah, it is. Not that they're much better. So in a time where there was a Star Wars drought, this was just enough water to live.
So as a Star Wars fan, like I said, I was scared to watch this. I literally had heard such horror stories from everyone else about how bad this was.
It's true, all of it.
Refusing to watch it, so until Nick finally made me. So I learned that everything everyone said was true.
Mm-hmm. Just like Harrison Ford said, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Is it weird? I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad I have the experience now. You know, it is what it is. I think it's very perfect for the time. And even, you know, Mark Hamill talks about how this was proof of how infallible they were at the time. Mm-hmm. That they could do no wrong. That everyone was just Star Wars crazy and Star Wars mad that they would do anything. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, this was, the whole time I was going, what the fuck is this? So, but it was quite an experience. I'm glad to have finally have seen it.
I don't know how to feel about this at the end of the day, because like Star Wars immediately became like a cult, not in a bad way, like
Orange Theory kind of cult, you know.
No, healthy. Oh. It's not Lululemon. You're not going to murder for it. No. It's designed to offer people hope, but like
rebellions are built on hope.
I will say you're right, but this is like it was translated by Google Translate. You take away, because you get all the notes right, but you get everything wrong about the emotion. That's the problem with this. Because like with Star Wars, they're supposed to be like, it's very anti-government. It's very Vietnam is wrong. It's this idea that hope it should be stronger than a big body. It's the opposite of Star Trek. Star Trek is utopia fixing the problems. This is supposed to be there are issues in the world that we need to fight for. And this is the most mediocre version of it I've ever seen. This is the weird, like, a Where's Waldo becomes a drama on Netflix. It's like, you know what they're doing? They're trying to find people, but finding people is not like a creepypasta. It's like a real thing that should matter. And getting home for Christmas. Because again, we did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles a few years ago. That's what this should be.
It was the first time I'd watched it was with you. I was on this couch and I was crying. Daniel helped me. I was crying so hard. Because when I realized his wife was dead, that was it. That was, I lost my shit.
And that's all you need. You just need the emotion of someone trying to get home. And they fuck it up every step of the way. This is like when cocaine goes bad. You're like, how can that happen?
I think this is when cocaine goes absolutely correctly.
Yeah. So thin.
Anyway, so like, I'm sure there's something filmic I could say, but at the end of the day, like Candace keeps bringing back, this was just on TV. Like, we forget that the Christmas special with Peanuts, like Charlie Brown Christmas, is a miracle. They had kid actors who couldn't act. They had a score that Charles Schulz hated, and it just all came together. This was just what could have been the Christmas special for the Peanuts. It just nothing lined up. Like, that's the thing about it. Nothing worked. So I would say the opposite of what everyone else has said. You should see this. But you just have to have a lot of people with eggnog. Like, because this is fun to watch with people. So if you're watching this alone, there's a suicide on Christmas. Like, I don't know what to tell you. This is a sad day.
You're walking that beam, lumpy style.
Oh, right. Jesus.
Anyway, so as we're doing this, because my beautiful friend Candace brought it up, next week we're doing Ewok Adventures, The Battle for Endor.
What?
Just so we can have Wilford Brimley in the Star Wars universe. But we have ended a... I appreciate you being here for the entirety of our December month, where we went from Willow, also almost a Star Wars movie, to Lord of the Rings Fellowship and Two Towers, with an interlude with our great late friend Robin Williams with toys. We're going to start January, though, making sure you don't believe anything, because we're doing X-Files Fight the Future, followed by I Want to Believe. So stay tuned next week when we, goddammit, visit Ewok, an Ewok planet. And thanks, guys.
Bye!
Season 9 of Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and stars Daniel Suttis and Matt Quinn. The theme music is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod of Incomtech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and review us wherever podcasts are found. Thanks, guys.